You know, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, sometimes I just stop and I'm like, I mean, what's really going on here? Jesus has just got done teaching. You know, the religious leaders, man, they've written Jesus off. And there are a group of people following Jesus, and about half of them aren't sure about this deal. And then we know there were some that followed him, and they were faithful. In John chapter 6, verse 60 begins this way. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And we're kind of going to begin there, but I mean, we've got to go back, don't we? I mean, what's a hard teaching? Jesus just got finished teaching in the synagogue. Listen, I'm just going to kind of do the last part here. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." And the disciples said, "Jesus, man, that's tough. I mean, what are you talking about? Because, you know, they already think we're hypocrites. Now they think we're hypocritical cannibals. I mean, what are you really talking about? I mean, Jesus, who can accept this?" And it's this whole question. It's this whole question of, how can we truly follow you? I mean, how can we do that? I mean, Jesus has laid out, you know, a pretty tough criteria here for if you're going to be with him and if you're going to follow him. You got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, there's probably a lot of you here tonight, and that doesn't shock you when I read it. We've been in church long enough. We've heard the expression, eat the flesh, drink the blood. We automatically think of, this will be interactive tonight, communion. But you know what? There's no mention of the Lord's Supper in the fourth gospel. None. And I've heard people say, Jesus is actually referring to communion here. Like, you know, he had the little cups on him and the crackers. Oh, God, not really my flesh. Here's a cracker. There's no mention of the Lord's Supper in the fourth gospel. And imagine, because there are some of you here tonight, maybe right now, you're sitting there and you're freaking out. And you're thinking, everything I heard about this church, it's true, man. Eating the flesh and drinking the blood. Even Jesus' own disciples said, "Jesus." And maybe they're saying, could you have phrased it another way? That would have, you know, been more seeker sensitive? I mean, who's going to want to follow you now? It's kind of like if you're a convert to Judaism and you were to, let's say, you know, walk the aisle to enter into Judaism, and they said, "Hey, what do I need to do?" And they pulled out a knife if you were a man. If you don't get that, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. It's a tough sell. And Jesus said, "Hey, you guys want to follow me? Come on." They'd seen some miraculous things, some things that were follow-worthy. And Jesus said, "Hey, you want to follow me? Hey, oh, yeah, one other thing. If you're going to really follow me, you're going to have to eat the flesh and drink the blood." And you imagine there were some people like, "All right, I think Ryan's just opened. I'm out of here. I'm going to go back to other things. I can't do this." And his disciples, you know, after they leave the city, the disciples like, "Jesus, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept this?" Now, I want you to know, because there were several disciples that were following Jesus. Some that we're going to learn here in just a few minutes deserted Jesus. And the Bible says they never went back. They never followed him again. And then there were some of his disciples that we kind of know, and they just struggled with what he said. And they struggled to follow Jesus with intimacy and faithfulness. Because listen, your relationship with Jesus, and I've tried to think about how to say this in a man kind of a way, because I think women get it easier than we do. There wasn't one amen. That's good, ladies. That's good. And to use the word intimacy in this day and age, you know, you say intimacy and most of the men's eyes pop up. Intimacy. You know, I love when I do marital counseling and the man goes home and says, well, we need to work on some of the things he said. He said we need to be intimate. Men are always willing to work on that. I was thinking about how to say this tonight. Because in your walk with Jesus, there's supposed to be incredible intimacy. And it's kind of like you come to a place in that walk where your natural response is just to begin to be in that relationship with Jesus and to talk to Him. And to have true fellowship and trust in the Savior. And so here's Jesus, and this was, I think, maybe a failed recruiting trip. They're going to go get some more disciples. And Jesus says, so if you want to come with me, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and you cannot write it off, as he was just referring to communion, because there's no mention of that. And yet, we also know that when Jesus was on the cross, after they brought him down, people didn't swarm around him and eat him and drink his blood. So we know he wasn't literally talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Listen to what the disciples say. This is hard. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are Spirit and they are life. And Jesus is going to say later that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and have it to the full, or have it abundantly. But the idea is that this Christian life, man, it is a surreal experience. I mean, this is an incredible experience. Have you ever just had a moment with God and you'll never forget that as long as you live? You had a moment like that where that intimacy was so profound. You see, those are the moments that God is wanting us to have with Him. And disciples are saying, well, who can accept this? I mean, then who can really follow you, Jesus? It's a great question. And it's a question that some of you have here. It's a question that some of you have here about somebody else. How are they ever going to follow Jesus? I mean, if He demands that we die to ourselves, if He demands that we trust Him, if He demands that our life die to the old one and live in the new one, how are people going to be able to do that? Some of you right now, there's somebody that you love that you know is not a Christian. And you're wondering, how's it ever going to happen? How is that ever going to happen? And disciples are saying, so who can follow you? And Jesus says, I want you to know these words, what I'm speaking to you, it is Spirit. And they are words of life. And He intends for me and for you to have full life in Him. Now, we've said a lot here on Wednesday night that full life doesn't mean a life without pain and a life without suffering. That is par for the course. If you're going to follow Jesus on this earth, it's going to be there. You're going to struggle. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to have letdowns. You are going to have doubts. Has anybody here ever had any doubts? Raise your hand. I want to see. Any of you ever have any doubts about God? Oh, you wicked and perverse people. I mean, they're there. Because I cannot comprehend and grasp everything about God. But the things that God wants me to grasp, I can grasp. He says, I want you to follow me. And I want this life to be full. And I don't want you following in those old ways, but I want you to follow me with everything you have. Jesus said, I want you to follow me so faithfully, it's like eating my flesh and drinking my blood. Now, you want to talk about intimacy. Jesus is referring here to the authenticity, to the genuineness of our fellowship and of how we are going to follow Him. You see, this life, this Christian life, it's not the culmination of it, isn't it, when we come together in church? or that we sing a great praise song, or that we hear a good sermon. That's not the culmination. The culmination of this Christian life is realizing that one day we will have a life free of the pain and the suffering, and we'll be with Him forever and ever and ever, and no hindrances to that relationship. Jesus saying, I want you to really, really follow me. I want you to really follow me. And the disciples are disappointed. The ones that believed are disappointed because maybe they brought their buddy and he's not having that. I mean, that's too tough. You ever bring somebody to church and maybe the preacher or somebody say something and you're like, ooh, I don't know how that's going to go over with them. Oh, I wish they hadn't said it. And most of the time it's the opposite. We didn't bring them and said, oh, I wish they'd heard that. When God was speaking it to you. And the disciples are disappointed. And Jesus is trying to explain to them, guys, this isn't about how many people are going to follow. This isn't about the crowd. It's not about the numbers. This is about me and you and the desire that I have for your life. Now, this is a great follow-up message to last week's message. That the life that God has for you, the life that God desires for you. Oh, listen, you guys. It is so sweet, the life that He desires to have with you and the intimacy that He desires with you in that relationship. So the disciples are disappointed. They're a little distraught. And after Jesus answered, He had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray Him. And He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Did you hear that? Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. And somebody would ask the question, how am I going to eat the flesh? How am I going to drink the blood? How am I going to do that? Well, one, you're not going to have to worry about it unless the Father even enables you to do that. So who can follow Jesus? I mean, how can we live up to the life that He's calling us to live up to? Can I just give you the best news that I got besides the cross and the resurrection? And that's this. I can live up to the life that God wants me to, but only through Him. Only through Him. Even now that I'm a Christian, if God left me to my own ability, my own skill, my own powers, they fall frighteningly short of what God wants. But God is saying this, not only have I called you to this life, but I'll empower you to live the life that I want you to live. And He's saying, but there's some things that I want from you. I want you to seek that power from me. I want you to seek that ability from me. I want you to have a desire to grow closer to me. And so here's the deal. It's not that I want everybody to be all bummed out. I'm just not as close to God as I could be. You're going to say that the rest of your life. Have you heard that? No, really, did you hear that? You're always going to feel, I would be more worried about you if you came to the altar and said, Pastor Jamie, I just want you to know, I'm as close to God as I can get. I'm as close to God as a person could get. You're deceived. I always have that longing and that desire to want to be closer to God. Now, let me just back up, because I think maybe the temptation is for you to think that I'm so holy that I always have that desire. That desire is very present after sin in my life. Anybody ever sinned lately? Today? Wow, everybody sinned today seems to be sitting more on this side. I'm glad you are here, but I'll be back. I want to be closer to God. Do you know why I want to be closer to God and why I desire to be as close to Him as I can be? It's not because I'm doing so great or I have such a vision for what God wants for me. It's because I know I'm drowning here. I mean, I am struggling here, so I want to be closer to God. So, you know what? It doesn't come out of some holy place, but it comes out of a place that I struggle. And I do desire to be closer to God because, man, the closer I am, the better I deal with the pain and the suffering. Because it's still going to be there. He told him. He said, you know, I'm not worried about the crowds because nobody's going to be able to follow me unless my Father enables them to anyhow. And that takes so much pressure off in the preaching experience. Because if you're here tonight and you have no interest in Jesus, you're here for whatever reason, I can't convince you of otherwise. I can't convince you differently. I can't persuade you with my words. You know why? Because I'm flesh. And the flesh counts for, anybody remember? We just read it. The flesh counts for nothing. Nothing. So I can't persuade you. There's only one thing that's going to make you want to follow Jesus. And that is Jesus. That's it. That's it. And if you were here tonight and you had a desire to really want to follow Jesus, maybe you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and tonight that changed for you, it wouldn't be because of the sermon. It wouldn't be because of the worship. It would be because Jesus got a hold of your heart. And our prayer is, Father, get a hold of our hearts. Get a hold of our hearts. He is the Lord of glory. And there was a cross and a resurrection. And if you're a believer, you should have a desire within you to want to follow Him as closely as you can. As closely as you can. That desire should be there. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are times in my life when I can't recognize that desire. I can't even come and pray, Lord, help me to be closer to you, because the desire is not even there. But aren't you glad that the Bible says that the Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf? And it's as the Spirit prays that that longing grows to want to be close to Him. There's supposed to be incredible intimacy in this journey. If some of you are like me, man, you've gone through things maybe years ago. Maybe you're going through things now. And going through those things, you've just decided to walk the other way. And it's not that you're walking away from Jesus. You don't want anything to do with Jesus. It's that our response to that pain and that suffering is just to say, okay, I've got to deal with it. And if you're going to stay over here, you know, you're going to have to deal with it. And Jesus is saying to you, let me deal with it. Let me deal with it. I don't know how people go through everyday tragedy and everyday crises. I don't know how people get through that without Jesus in their life. And the truth is, most of them aren't getting through it. That it wrecks their life for the rest of their lives. And Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And Jesus is saying, I want to be your everything. I want to be your everything. I want to be what your life revolves around. I want you to trust me. I want you to talk to me. Will be what some may think is elementary tonight. I want you to talk to me. I mean, what are your prayers like? When I was about 16 years old, I wrote this little thing, and it was called, O Wall, Hear My Prayer. And the reason I wrote it is because I was just going through a tough time, and I just wondered, where in the world was God? I mean, I was praying to Him. I told Him exactly how I wanted everything to turn out. And He didn't answer the prayer the way that I ordered Him to. And so I wrote this thing called, O Wall, Hear My Prayer, because God sure isn't hearing it. But God was working behind the scenes. And God was doing what was going to be best for me. And God was doing what was going to be best for me in light of eternity. Did everybody hear that? God is working right now in your life to do what's best for you in light of eternity. And that means He's molding us and He's shaping us. And every trial I go through, it makes me stronger for the next one. Because you know what God sees that I doesn't see? There's a trial that's coming. And if I'm where I'm at now, there's no hope. There's no way I'm going to make it through that. Now, I'll be in heaven with Jesus forever and ever, but the rest of my life is going to be wrecked and ruined. And God is preparing me for that trial that's to come. And in that preparation, every day He makes us more like His Son, Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, just like we talked about Peter last week, there is going to have to be intimacy in your walk. And there's going to have to be an incredible relationship that you have with Jesus. But here's the good news. You can have it. You can have it. Because nobody comes to the Father except those that the Father has enabled. And so he's called you to follow him. He's equipped you to follow him. He's empowered you to follow him so that all those things are readily available as we seek to follow him. What's the desire of your heart? What's the desire of your life? The Bible goes on to tell us, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus said, you do not want to leave too, do you? He asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. I want to read that again.
That's good.
That's good. Simon Peter answered. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. I mean, that's what this is about. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you believe that he really is? And the way that you follow is a true answer to that question. What do you desire in your life? Peter said, where else are we going to go? And you know, Peter wasn't just guessing. Peter had been to a few of those places. How many of you can now say, where else will I go? And the other end of that sentence is, because I've been everywhere else. This side over here, a lot of response. I've been every place else. There's no other place that brings hope for eternity. Now, I've been to some places that brought a good time for a short time. Were you there too? Okay, all right, over here again. Sorry, this side's just contemplative tonight. That's what it is. Or they're so guilty, they're still in denial. Maybe that's what it is. What is it you desire in your life? What is it that you're after? What is it that you're longing for? And Jesus said, desire me. Because in the end, I am all that you need. Because let's face it, if you don't eat, you're going to die. Amen. Some of us are making real sure that that never happens, right? Me included. But Jesus has taken us kind of out of the physical world, out of the earthly world, out of the fleshly world. And he's speaking to us in spirit language and in spirit world. And in spirit language and spirit world, Jesus says, eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Because just as in the earthly realm, that you don't eat and drink, you will die. In the spiritual realm, if you don't eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, you will die. And Jesus is saying, so come, follow me. Follow me. And listen, don't get this picture that Jesus was all bummed out because everybody left and he turned around and said, are you guys going to leave too? That wasn't it. Jesus wasn't worried about that. Jesus knew what was going on, what was going to happen. Look at babies are wanting to follow Jesus. That's good. That's good. Jesus wasn't worried about that. I don't think Jesus was bummed out. Jesus wasn't worried about that. Jesus just said, he turned to him and he said, and whenever Jesus is speaking to disciples, he's always speaking heavy, right? I mean, he's always got something heavy. You ever meet anybody just always have something heavy to say? You know, because a lot of times when we greet people, we're like that. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And somebody's like, it's just not good. It's really bad. And, you know, I'm already halfway down the hall because I didn't mean it. I really didn't mean, how are you? I don't care. I'm busy. But we do that, don't we? Because if you say, how are you? And then somebody goes into a story, you're like, you feel this incredible obligation to hear the story. Wow. Wow. And it happens all the time. Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? Jesus didn't ask that question for his own revelation and his own knowledge. Jesus asked him the question so that they could answer it. So what about you? Looks like everybody else has taken off. What are you going to do? And Peter says, maybe articulated it this way for the first time. Peter says, Jesus, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And Peter is saying, Jesus, for the bottom line, for all that's really ever going to matter, does everybody understand that? For all that's really ever going to matter And let me help you with what really matters. My wife called, and one of our singers on one of the praise teams, my daughter did what I thought was a very sweet thing. My daughter wanted to draw her a picture, one of our praise team members. And she drew the cutest little picture on the side of the lady's car. And my wife called. And I wanted to beat that child. You know, my wife calls me again. It's not much later. I was at the grocery store. I was getting the kids, I know the kids. And while I was getting them, because I'm making sure they're okay and I'm getting buckled in, the cart started to roll. And it hit this car. And I was like, what kind of car? She said it was a really nice car. And I wanted to beat my wife. What's really going to matter? What's really going to matter? Because all that stuff, it matters for a moment, doesn't it? It matters for the moment. And I get upset about the stupidest things. And it matters for the moment. Jesus is saying, so what are you guys going to do? And Peter's saying, listen, all that's ever really going to matter is that you have the words of eternal life. That's all that's going to matter. When this life is said and done, it'll be about you and Jesus. And how you followed Him. And how you worshipped Him. And how you obeyed Him. That's what's really going to matter. And Jesus is saying in all of that, so I want to have intimacy with you. I want to know you. And here's the good news. He knows you. That's good news for this half. For over here, He knows you. He knows all of us and He knows me. And that scares me to death that He knows me. Because I want to say real quick, I'm like, oh, I wasn't thinking that, Jesus. I don't know where that came from, Lord. And so, Jesus getting to know us. That's not what this life of following Jesus is about, because He knows you. He created you. Let me tell you what this life is about. It's about us getting to know Him. And it's about us learning to trust Him. Because you can trust Him. You can trust Him. And Peter said, there's no other place that we could go, Lord. You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. And in that moment, Peter got to know Jesus better. Because you have to believe that if this group of people that had been following Him for a little while, many deserted Him. I got to think that a few of Peter's friends maybe were in that crowd. And I've got to think some people maybe that he cared about, they were in that crowd. And they all walked away. And Jesus says, Peter, what are you going to do? I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. It's the most incredible thing that to become Christians, it's really simply. Because typically the prayer we pray is for Jesus to come into our hearts. And I think that's good. The Bible doesn't say, here's exactly how you have to say it. But you know, it's literally happening as we become Christians is God is placing our life in His hands. He wants to know you. Keith, you guys can come. He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him. What is the desire of your heart? What is it that you're passionate about? Let me ask you this. What is it that you're heartbroken about? What is it that broke your heart years ago or recently? What is it that you are struggling to get through or struggling to get over? What is it? Because I promise you, the better you get to know Jesus, the better you're going to get through that or get over that. Or have that heart get healed. You know how my heart gets healed a lot when it gets broken? Not all the time, but most of the time it's that I realize that the insignificant thing that broke my heart is nothing compared to what God wants to do in my life. and know what God wants to do in your life. But church, He is calling us to follow Him. To follow Him. I want to share some good news with you. I believe there are some of you here tonight, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I believe that maybe tonight, and I've already said, we know it's not because of the preaching. It's not because of all this. But tonight, God has broke your heart for Him. God is calling you to Himself, and you feel that. And I've heard people explain it a lot of ways. Man, maybe right now your heart's going a million miles an hour because you know something's got to happen. And you know, when I've talked about not having a relationship with Jesus, you know that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Man, the best news I can tell you is this wasn't some intellectual knowledge or revelation that you came to the conclusion of. This was God. This was God opening your heart so that you could know Him. I want to invite you to come to the altar tonight. I'll be up here. I'd love to pray with you. And you can just come and say, you know, you're talking about that. I've never invited Christ to come into my life. And I want to encourage you tonight to do that. To invite Him to come into your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And what's literally happened is God is placing your life in His hands. And there's no other place you can go and have that happen. Because He alone have the words of eternal life. Some of you, man, what your heart's been open to tonight, because you've been following Jesus, is your heart's been open to what is it that you really desire? Who is it that you're really going to follow? You've realized, when I use that word intimacy, some of you wouldn't describe your relationship with Jesus that way. But I want you to know, that is what He desires from you. And I want you to really hear this. Because some of you are over here in the middle of the trial, in the middle of that tough thing that's going on. And you're saying, I'll get intimate with Jesus when I get through this. Wake up! You're not going to get through it. As a matter of fact, it's an offense to the cross and the resurrection. Jesus died because you and I can't do it. And He's saying, follow me. Trust me with that. Trust me with that. Person, trust me with that situation. Trust me. It's almost Jesus saying, don't quit talking to everybody else about it. Talk to me about it. Trust me. Listen, He wants you to have abundant life. And some of you, you are saying that you don't believe that when you try to handle those situations and circumstances in your life. Those very things that you might say, man, those things are keeping me from abundant life. Then take them to Jesus. Take them to Him. Don't carry this on your own. Oh, listen. Don't carry this on your own. Don't think that you can just push through it. You can't. And you want proof that you can't? Man, I've met with tons and tons of people who've carried stuff for 20 and 30 years, and they would truly tell you that the last 20 or 30 years has not been abundant life. That's what God wants for you. For you to trust Him. For you to walk with Him. For you to desire Him. Father, we come to You tonight. And Lord, we come to You because there's no other place to go. We come to You because we've been to all the other places. We come to You because we've been carrying this for so long, we can't carry it anymore. So, Lord, we come to You. Lord, help us to know You better. Help us to desire You more intimately. Help us to trust You with everything. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. This altar is open. I'm not going to keep this altar open long unless you all respond. So please, if you need to come tonight, you come. Let's stand together.